There was a husband who didn't attend worship. It was strange to him. His wife had grown up in the church, so all the practices and the events of worship were familiar to her, but not to him. And so she went alone. One Sunday morning, she was fumbling with her purse as the offering was being taken. And from inside her purse, the TV remote fell out. The usher was kind of curious, and so she noticed that and said to him, "Well, my husband refused to come. And so this was the worst thing I could think to do to him legally." But it's understandable. Those who have not been part of a Christian upbringing may find the church intimidating or confusing. Many people, for example, don't understand what Lutheran means or where it comes from. Or they may come and experience a worship service and ask, "What's all this standing up and sitting down all about?" They may not be familiar with the songs that are sung. And so it may be difficult, it may be intimidating. At the time of the Gospel John is written, the story of Jesus is being documented because a couple of generations now have passed from those who had actually encountered the risen Jesus. For the followers of the good news of Jesus and for the early church, these young Christians faced persecution. Largely because of suspicion. It was directed towards the early Christians because they were moved by this good news. The people were moved and by therefore were different. Many practices and many aspects of early Christianity were not understood. It created a feeling of paranoia amongst many on the outside. For example, these early Christians did not say and did not give their vow that Caesar is Lord. These early Christians, they would meet in private and they would share this meal, eating bread and drinking wine and talking about body and blood. They gathered and celebrated a love feast, an agape fellowship. And they often talked about the return of Jesus and the impact that that would have on the world and how it would upset the power structures of that day and the generations to come. And so people became suspect of this lack of conformity. And within the general public, there was a lack of understanding. And so it raised suspicion, even fear, of these early Christians. And so the early church was targeted largely unjustly. They were persecuted, maybe by slights, general harassment, receiving persistent ill treatment, which took many forms and a wide spectrum of injury, emotionally, mentally, or even physically. So Jesus speaks of this time to come, and with it the coming of an advocate. An advocate who will prove the world wrong. Now take yourself inside a courtroom setting for a moment. I haven't had many experiences there. In fact, none at all, really, I want to say. I have seen them on television. So think of a court proceeding that's taking place. A lawsuit that has been presented. The advocate is the representative. The representative, in this case, of God, who will demonstrate that the world had gotten it wrong. When Jesus talks about the world, he's speaking of those who thought of themselves as God's people, He's not really referring to the world at large, not the general sense, but specifically to the people of Israel. And he comes and makes the point that God had given his verdict and God had decided in the favor of Jesus. This is seen in the risen Jesus, in the resurrected Jesus, and the Jesus who experienced new life and who shares new life. And with God deciding in the favor of Jesus, God also decides in the favor of the followers of Jesus. They share in the verdict, and they too are righteous. And so the Advocate, the Spirit, will come to provide support and assurance to the Christian community within the society they exist. And by God's deciding in favor of Jesus, Jesus has exposed their transgressions. The transgressions of God's people. But more importantly, provides the remedy. The thought of forgiveness. The power to overcome through the presence of God's very own Spirit. Jesus also exposed a great danger that existed then and exists now. Jesus identified those who would promote and spread and carry forward their idea of religion. One idea of religion that they continued to hold on to and therefore were not open to the truth of Jesus. Were not open to the grace of God. Jesus shared how religion created barriers amongst God's people. And that practice exists now as much as then. And the result is the barriers to unity. But Christians, the followers of Jesus, are to have the courage to be different. The Christian is to be different and to strive for unity. To make every effort to unify and to bring together. And so we are assured then that the Holy Spirit will continue to testify on the behalf of Jesus. We are assured that the Holy Spirit is active and that this Spirit will move in our hearts and in our minds. That we can impersonally encounter and experience God's presence. And with this inner realization of truth and grace and love comes an outward testimony. We have come to know Jesus. And now we want others to know Jesus as well. And so as Jesus teaches us, there's no end to the revelations that can be received. In our lives, there is to be a greater and greater realization of what Jesus means. And the Spirit will continue to remind us of what Jesus said, of what Jesus did. The Spirit will guide us and nudge us all the while in our own imaginations. The devout shepherd lost his favorite Bible when he was out looking for a wayward lamb. 3 weeks later, a sheep walks up to him with his Bible in its mouth. The shepherd takes the Bible and looks up to the heavens and says, "It's a miracle." sheep looks at him and says, "Not really. Your name's written on the inside cover." Sure, it's a silly story, but I know how much you like my silly stories. And I share it just because it stretches our imaginations. The possibilities of what could happen and what could be, of how our lives can be impacted by the power and presence of God, by the Holy Spirit. Amen.